This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here today. Well, as announced a few days ago, Republican Monique Despain taking another run at the 4th Congressional District seat, announcing her campaign a few days ago, and she joins us now. Monique, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. It's good to be back.
So one of the things that always happens when you've gone through a race, you're not successful, you come back a couple of years later, and sometimes people ask, why are you running again this time?
I refuse to give up on Oregonians. We are ready for change, and I'm determined to get to the work that Oregonians need done. I mean, so much necessary work isn't getting done because our current Congresswoman is determined to do nothing. She has simply dug in her heels and declared war on the federal government, and then she blames her lack of progress on anything that is important to us in this district on someone else. You know, it doesn't matter to me who the president is. When I am in Congress, I'll work with anyone who wants to deliver good, healthy results to our district. I'm running on the same message. We still need an affordable economy here in Oregon. Oregon has one of the worst economies. We need access to health care. In this district, we have people waiting in long lines to just get into an emergency room. We need safe neighborhoods. We still need that. We need good schools. It's obvious that to get there, to return to prosperity and common sense, we need a transparent and accountable government. Right now, Washington is broken, toxic, and Val Oil is a big part of it. So I am resuming the mission. It's a worthy fight, and I know I have a lot of support in this district, particularly in Roseburg.
Now, looking back at 2 years ago, how do you feel like that campaign went, and are there things that you would do differently or plan to do differently this time?
I learned so much. We ran a really good campaign. We were actually in one of the top 10% closest races in the United States. But as you know, I started from zero. I had never aspired to politics. I just knew we had a five-alarm fire in Washington, D.C., and that we weren't being represented here in Oregon. Oregon just didn't have a voice, still doesn't. But, you know, nobody knew. They were like, who is Monique Despain? And now it feels completely different. I think that people paid attention to our campaign, believed in the issues that I recognize those issues, and I'll work for it. I felt well supported in Douglas County and across the district. Our launch has been amazing. In the first 48 hours, we raised over $155,000. I mean, that's in the door. Many more pledges. And that's completely different. And I had to call all my friends and family and my own personal cell phone to squeeze $100,000 out by Christmas time on my last launch in 2023. So I sent out a press release. It's really true. The momentum is surging. The energy across the district is contagious. And anyone watching from the sidelines, I think they can feel it, that our movement is taking off. I mean, people are fed up, and I think they appreciate somebody willing to stand up and fight for all of us. So I feel really encouraged by my supporters, and I feel, it's just my network has expanded. I feel like people really know who I am now. So we're starting from a great place.
The 4th District poses a challenge because the incumbent, various people have been Democrats for literally decades. I didn't get a chance to look this up, but it would go back to probably
about 40 years.
Yeah, 40 years, maybe a bit more, that a Democrat mm-hmm. has always been elected. And in following the redistricting in the 2020 census, the district leans even a little bit more Democratic. How do you get through that?
With tenacity and determination and everybody jumping up and number one voting and contributing, not just money. Of course, we have to have money to win a race like this, but also directing people to my website and social media and showing up, you know, inviting me to come and talk to your groups. And, you know, the largest voting block in the 4th District is the non-affiliated voter, the registered non-affiliated voter. So grab a friend who you know is sick of the the lack of public safety, who's having a hard time finding a job because we do not have an economy that supports businesses. I mean, that's how we flip it. I mean, really, we all need to be discerning voters. Who cares if you're an R or a D? Like, you know there's something wrong. I mean, I could go on about forest management. What we're doing is not working. Could we just agree on that and start making progress and delivering for the people? So what I think is different, I think people are connecting the dots. The time's up for Democrats in this congressional seat in the 4th District. It hasn't been working, so we need something new, and that's what I offer.
And I just looked it up really quick.
I want to say, Kyle, I am a political outsider. You know, career politicians start serving themselves, and there's no better example of that than Val Hoyle. I am not a career politician. I believe in term limits. I'm a doer. We need less talkers and, you know, arguers who just want to just obstruct progress, and we need doers. I know what this district needs, and I've been doing, producing results my whole career.
You know, I looked back really quick here. It was John Dellenbach who was the last Republican in the 4th District, and that's actually 50 years ago. He was in office from 67 to 75. Again, certainly a challenge there. And around Oregon, obviously, it's been tough for Republicans to get into Congress.
There's a beautiful park out on the coast honoring Dellenbach. Yeah, it's a challenge, but what are we going to do, just sit back and give up?
What are your thoughts in terms of the top issues? You've already talked about a few things, but if somebody were to say, what are your top four or five issues that you're running on?
The economy, getting back to an affordable cost of living right here in Oregon. You know, any progress we're making on the federal level, Oregon's just sitting there to snap it up, like on the gas tax. You know, we reduce the federal tax. There's Oregon. Oregon Democrats ready to snap up any gains. We still have not made progress on housing. Over a quarter of the cost of a home is just government regulation and red tape. The Democrats in Oregon have not done anything to fix it. The federal government can have some influence on that. I mean, I want our younger generations to feel hopeful and that, like, they can aspire to the American dream, which is to have a, you know, at least a modest home, to have home ownership. We haven't made any progress on that. We need energy security. Oregon has just been going backwards. We need to go forward on that to reduce the cost of living. And we always need to keep our job training, apprenticeships, you know, getting a skilled workforce to work. So creating jobs, making Oregon an appealing business environment. None of that has happened in the last, you know, for a long, long time. And I'm hoping people have connected the dots to what Val Hoyle has failed to deliver to us. And then, of course, that's the economy. Crime. We have very terrible conditions in the district. Homelessness, drug addiction, no solutions, just a big black hole that we dump a bunch of money into. So I would object to funding failure and fund the projects that are delivering healthy people that are returned to a productive life, which includes a job. And then they earn their housing. I do reject the housing first model. The crime, government transparency and accountability. Like, none of this can be resolved until we hold our government accountable for how they keep taking our money and not delivering results and then asking for more money. We just saw a great example of that with this transportation bill that was passed in Oregon.
As a retired Air Force colonel, I wanted to get your perspective about this whole situation regarding the deployment of some National Guard members to Portland. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I have so many thoughts. I felt like it was kind of a God moment that I launched my campaign right in the middle of the week that the Oregon National Guard was not being recognized for who they really are and what they're doing. We had our congressional delegation and Governor Kotek just display gaslighting extraordinaire. And this is very personal to me because, you know, I was in the Oregon National Guard for about 20 of my 30 years. Most of it was as a JAG, but some of it was as a commander. And I have to say that having a congresswoman say the Guard is only trained for combat and to represent to the public that our citizen soldiers are some kind of rogue police force is patently false, and it's very irresponsible. And so the question we should be asking is, why on earth have our Oregon leaders continued to allow these circumstances and then deny it's even happening? They say they can handle it. But then why don't they? And this has been going on for years, not just this past 6 months or a year. This has been going on for so long that there is a measurable mass exodus of businesses and good law-abiding working people from Portland and Eugene and Salem. Democrat economists themselves have referred to a doom loop. That's a real thing, and it's affected by these kinds of riotous behavior that are continuing in downtown Portland. So why do they keep asking for more public safety taxes from the people who live and work in these cities? Why are the police being ordered by COTEC to stand down when it comes to halting crime? So this is what you get when you have career politicians who do not understand the military. Our congressional delegation has no veteran representation, and they don't even understand the function of our own citizen soldiers that live and work here in Oregon. So it's just shameful. In fact, Val Hoyle, in a town hall yesterday, actually said, I'm going to try to quote this exactly, but Portland is just weird. It's not a war zone. The National Guard service members are being sent there to intimidate people into silence and stop dissenters from speaking out. She said this yesterday, and she claims to know that Oregonian guardsmen do not want to be there. Well, I know the people of the Oregon Guard, and they have had overwhelming volunteer response to go protect their own cities and towns and neighborhoods, and they understand what lawful orders are, and they have more backbone than our current congresswoman, who doesn't have enough backbone to do what's lawful and right, especially when it's not easy. So I'm really proud to have entered the ring at this moment, because I'm proud to stick up for our citizen soldiers and airmen, and I'll never stop being their wingman.
All right, we're going to take a break. More when we come back. Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress. The interview of podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Running for Congress, Monique Despain, a Republican out of the Eugene area, on with us. Made the announcement of her campaign just days ago, covering a number of things here in the limited time we've got left. Federal government is shut down right now. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, it's terrible and irresponsible, and it's more partisan gamesmanship. At the expense of working the most vulnerable people in our communities. I was just listening to a press conference this morning where I learned that WIC, Women, Infant, and Children, a program that provides baby formula and just essentials to the vulnerable in our community, are going to be cut off from their funding because of this government shutdown, which is about the Democrats wanting to fund illegal immigrants' access to our medical system. It's really just reprehensible. I don't agree with it, of course. I would not be shutting down the government. I'd be getting the work of government done. And so I think everybody knows by now this is just a routine continuing resolution. The Republicans didn't hang any conditions on it, but that is the condition. The Democrats are trying to extort, billions of dollars out of the American people by causing our vulnerable, who depends on these resources of our government, and it's all just to make a point to dig in, to obstruct forward progress and do the business of government. And it's all about funding illegal immigrants.
What about, you touched on this a little bit earlier, forest management policy, a big deal in Douglas County, certainly with the timber industry, the wildfires that we've dealt with, et cetera.
That is my passion project for our state. I love our forests, and I know the people who live here do as well, and we are the ones who know how to manage our forests. I strongly support active forest management. Humans are part of the ecosystem of the forest, and they always have been. We need to do it responsibly. And active forest management includes tapping into the vast economic potential of our forest. We, as you and your listeners all know, we used to be a very prosperous state. Our schools were well-funded. Law enforcement was well-funded. All the things that they're trying to put on our individual backs in the form of property taxes and so on, of a new transportation tax, we were able to support our communities with the timber revenues. Now, all those beautiful resources are going up in smoke every fall. We have a smoke season. And so, as I stated before, this is another example of career politicians not working for good, just digging in and fighting and litigating. I mean, what we know is that what we're doing now with our forest management is not working. And as I've said before, all progress begins with telling the truth. Like, we need to agree that it's not working and we need to address it. And there's some great opportunities right now that have availed themselves through the federal government that we need to seize the moment. And I will be the one to lead the effort to transform our Oregon forests into the economic boom that our district desperately needs and deserves. So I'll work on reforms and laws that allow us to replenish our coffers for public services, public safety, and education. We've been there before. We don't have to reinvent the wheel again. We need to remove barriers and return to prosperity. Now, I will say I supported, do you remember the Fix Our Forest Act? That was a good start. It was a very strong bipartisan bill, Fix Our Forest Act, that Val Hoyle voted against in 2024. And we hammered her on that. So you know what she did? She voted for it in January and doesn't explain it. See, we have a career politician who just flip-flops to meet the needs of her donors and just her own personal interests. She supported the expansion of the definition of old growth, like a tree younger than me would be considered old growth, according to her desires, you know? So anyway, there is legislation in play. We need to continue to support it. That Fix Our Forest Act that was passed by the Republican House is now stuck with the Senate, and I'll be very interested to see how Senator Wyden and Merkley vote, because they should be concerned about the fact that our forests are burning. They're either burning literally or in litigation, and we have to stop that.
Now, I've been told over the years that when new folks are elected to Congress, it really takes a while to make a significant impact. What would you do to make an impact if you were elected?
Well, that's the story that Val Hoyle will tell you. She can't get anything done because it's hard and she's new and she's a Democrat. But I have been in contentious environments and helping negotiate parties in conflict to solutions my whole career, just as a lawyer, of course, and as a senior officer in the military. So anyway, I'm up for the challenge. I learn quickly. I already have good relationships with people in Congress, and we'll continue to develop those relationships. And I'm going to be a person who shows up to roll up my sleeves and get work done, regardless of party affiliation. I'm going to take Oregon's voice to Congress and be in those conversations and be willing to negotiate and accept that we're going to have some differences, you know, while keeping my core mission, which is to support Oregonians in Washington, D.C., in this policymaking morass that we have there.
Yeah, we've just got a couple minutes left. As you go through this campaign, talk about what you're planning to do to see a different outcome this time than you saw 2 years ago.
Well, as I said, I learned a lot, and I all through my career, I've always applied the lessons learned. You know, you don't make the same mistakes twice. But, you know, I don't want to be too – we did quite well, and I feel very well supported. I just would ask that everybody – regardless of your party affiliation, if any of these messages that I've talked about resonate with you, then go to my website at MoniqueForCongress.com, my social media. My campaign is very approachable. I've certainly asked everybody to make that priority. The way we're going to run our campaign is how we run our congressional office when we get there. And so contact my campaign. Be supportive. I really am authentic in what I want to deliver for Oregon. So if you can reach out to people that have given up and they just don't even bother voting. Yes, we have some challenges with our election system. We haven't even talked about that, but vote. It really matters. And be informed. Go to my website and learn everything you can about me, and then reach out if you have more questions at MoniqueForCongress.com.
And what are you planning in terms of upcoming appearances, maybe in the Umpqua Valley?
Oh, I'll be there. I really enjoyed coming to me. I'd like to, there's just so much to do, but I want to engage with the businesses. I know many of them are suffering. I had the endorsement of NFIB last round and confident I'll have their support again, because that organization and I want to help businesses stay in Oregon and be prosperous in Oregon so they can hire more and more productive people. So I have plans to get out to the chambers, Rotaries, everyone. And so invite me to come, too, if you want me to come speak.
Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress, out of time for now. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Thanks, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.